Hi, Brendan.
Hello, Alan.
The Not a Thing podcast, number 132. Back on the air, the internet, whatever you call
The
the
tubes.
medium. Yes.
Easy as 1, 3, 2.
This show's been going for a little bit now. We've had over 2 years of experience, kind of mucking stuff around, and hopefully we didn't muck it up too bad this last time. We're hoping the show is smooth sailing from this point on. I'm referring, of course, to things that you could possibly not know.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't currently recording this, this is the second time through. The first few minutes. Thanks, Google.
Connection
Sorry, I don't
drops.
blame you, Google.
Connection drops are not a thing, but hopefully we can get through a little bit of this episode and at least talk about some things that are things, some things that are not things or shouldn't be things, as we are wont to do on the show. It's been great doing it, and we love doing it. If you would like to help us do this, as many have in the past, please join our show. Let us know, or maybe we'll invite you on the air. It seems to be a pretty good way to get folks onto the show, and it also kind of quietly boosts listenership by at least one that week.
Everyone counts.
Even you,
And you.
nameless listener
And
for the show.
you. You couldn't see, but I was pointing at you
Right,
when I
that
said
is the only appropriate thing to do when saying it in that voice. For
that.
those of you that get that reference, good on you. Good on you.
Congratulations, you're older than some people. And I include myself in that. It's not a shot at you, Alan.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's always nice to not have the shots be all at me.
I mean, I don't have any other people to shoot at on this show. I'm not going to shoot at a guest. And I'm not going to shoot. No, I shoot at myself sometimes, but.
Usually you're pretty good with the guests. So I think if you are even like a quarter way inclined to be on the show, we'll be glad to have you on. Just let us know, drop us a note, grab us in the hallway, whatever it takes.
Or if you were on before and you had a good time, come on back.
Yeah, why not? Sounds like a good plan.
Someone needs to break Julie's record for most appearances.
I think she's at four.
Yeah, I think it's like her and then probably David.
Yeah, he has two.
Three.
Does he have three?
He has three.
Okay, all right. Then we have a handful of people that have had two.
Yeah.
Well, maybe
And
like,
we love all our
yeah.
guests.
Definitely. We love our guests because we love our show, and we love our show because we love ourselves, and really that's what it's
And
about.
really, we're horrible narcissists.
Let's see. Let's move out to not stuff that we've talked about too much, although we have talked about it a little bit. This is some stuff out of news out of Virginia. We're talking about automatic license plate reader thingies. They have been installing them, I guess, in police cars over there. And one of the things that's kind of contentious is what to do with all of these photos or video or whatever the license plate readers take, geotagged data, all that kind of stuff. They could follow the model that is currently happening in Oakland, where there is no retention policy, and what happens is everyone that's recorded by the Oakland PD essentially stays in their system forever. In Virginia, the state legislature is proposing, and I think as of this this recording. They haven't passed it yet, but it looks
They've passed it. It's sitting on the governor's desk.
Ah, okay.
Well, I don't know if that's a literal thing that happens anymore. But that's we all know what we're talking about.
Right, exactly. You know, we don't have to sing the song to understand how bills become laws. It works out. But the legislature has passed it, and in what they've passed is they're saying that police departments can only keep license plate data for 7 days unless it's in an ongoing current investigation. And that's one of the country's like kind of biggest or not biggest shortest retention policies. There are other places that have like 21 day policies, and we talked about Oakland and their essentially infinite retention policy. And Virginia legislature, you know, kind of in a good nod, I think, to privacy advocates, mentioned that the reason they're making the retention time so short is there is a lot of potential for misuse of the data. And I think that's really kind of magnanimous of them to really identify that data could be misused, especially identifying data like license plates and geotagging information. So I think it's cool that they've come out in favor of it. Hopefully the governor signs it and they go through whatever other hoops need to happen for that to become like an enforced law. But
there's no reason you should keep license plate data longer than it took God to create the earth.
Well, it should be 6 days then, right?
No, I count the day off for bureaucracy.
Okay, yeah. No, that's fair. Well, it's interesting. The article says that this is currently the shortest retention plan for that data. And I actually kind of disagree with it, because kind of up front in the article, they mention, I believe it's New Hampshire, who is saying that the license plate readers are just illegal. Like the state shouldn't keep that information. And I think,
live free or die.
Yeah, and I think zero is smaller than seven. I don't know. It's one of those higher order math things, because like zero isn't really a number. So
of the ones that actually keep data because they exist.
Yeah.
Yes, it is the shortest.
Okay, that's fair. We'll go with that. That they get off on a technicality.
But it's funny. They also showed in that the Oakland police, who have no limit on how long they keep it.
Right.
They did a study in 2008 that said that they got a like success rate of actual things that they, you know, caught with that of 0.2%. So they just got all this data piling up, and not much of it's usable. But they say the quote was overwhelming success.
Yeah.
Like,
wow. 0.2%.
We did it. 0.2%.
All I know is hard drive manufacturers are probably going to be making the money on this one.
They have to set up their own data farms.
Right. Right. Exactly. I mean, maybe they could work with Google or something, or partner with a technology partner. I'm sure. The location of your car and your license plates could be correlated with all sorts of stuff, and used for all sorts of good meaty information that an ad company would want. But you know, hopefully Oakland and other places in California in general comes to their senses and kind of puts together a personal kind of data integrity plan like they have implemented for Virginia. I think it's one of those things where it's images that are stored. I mean, if the events of, you know, this last year have taught us nothing, it's you know, the images and the internet mean everyone has those images. So. It's kind of a thing where you know, expressing that that is a real thing and could possibly be misused is more of a harm reduction kind of approach, which I know a lot of people have problems with, mostly because they see the world in black and white, and that's not a thing. So figuring out ways to limit the misuse of data, I think is the right kind of answer in this case. In kind of other news about misuse of data, this is not really misuse of data so much as it is just bad, really, really bad judgment. what happened was an 11-year-old, and I didn't catch the state this is happening.
It was Virginia.
Was it?
Yep. We're staying in Virginia.
Ah, jeez. Okay, well.
Which I have a problem with Virginia. It's not a problem with the state, necessarily.
Huh.
It's whenever I hear the word Virginia,
yeah,
I hear Willem Dafoe from John Carter saying, Virginia! It just like a repeat. You ever have things like that in your brain?
Oh, sure.
Where you hear a word and like the subconscious, just like little tag gets thrown on there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It's
like whenever I see Kern's juice, uh-huh. You know, the like guava juice. I see yeah. Kern, and in my brain I go, "Son of Moog." It's totally reflex. Or if you read the name Aaron, it's Aaron.
Aaron, yeah. No, that's
these are the ways that my brain is broken.
Well,
Virginia.
Well, apparently some school superintendent in Virginia saw or heard some rumors that one of the students, an 11-year-old, had was kind of bragging about having weed and having access to it and potentially even growing it. And so this school has a zero tolerance policy on drugs. And, you know, that's not unheard of. So they caught the kid with a lighter and a leaf of something. And the leaf, at least in the article that I read, looks pretty much like a maple leaf. So it's probably not weed. And in fact, three different tests have come back to say that it's not, in fact, weed. So it's the kind of thing where it's like, what? How does that even happen? And how does that occur? Why is this a big deal? And it's a big deal because the school's policy, the zero tolerance policy, not only is about possession of weed, it's about anything that could be construed as drugs. So representations of drugs counts as something that they are not tolerant of. And as such, suspended the kid for a year, despite the leaf not being marijuana at all. And
that's brutal.
Yeah, it's really messed up, and it shows how you know how kind of amazingly egregious like a zero tolerance policy really is. Like what that's just fantastic. the kid was probably really dumb for doing what he did.
But he's 11.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the age where you're kind of allowed to be kind of dumb. And
it's called you're a kid.
And I think it's actually, in my opinion, a bad idea to have a policy such that that would reinforce kind of like how else do I say this? Stupidity about what drugs are and what they look like. I mean, if they were an actual marijuana leaf, then, you know, okay, fine. That falls under the zero tolerance policy, but it's not even like a good representation of what marijuana looks like. And so it's probably just confusing the heck out of like kids, it's like, oh, well, does that mean I have marijuana growing in my yard? It's like, no.
Better biology classes.
But I think in the article, the parents of the kid are actually teachers. I don't know if they're teachers at the same school that this was happening at, but they are suing because they're saying that the school violated their kid's right to due process because they're kicking him out, or at least suspending him on something that didn't occur. And I'd have to say, I don't know if that's really a thing either. Unfortunately, that argument doesn't hold water for me. I am not a lawyer, but it's one of those things where I think due process is in regards to like laws, like state laws. And because this is a school law, I don't think due process necessarily even exists, because it doesn't have enough law buttressing it for that to work. But, you know, good luck with getting their kid back into school. I don't know if they want to put them back into this school. It might be a good idea to look around. I mean, it sounded like when I'd read this article, for whatever reason, this isn't like recent. The kid has been out of school for a few months now. So I don't know. It seems like the kind of thing they would have tried to plug him back into a school somewhere else, at least in the meantime, while they got this sorted out. But I don't know. Whatever. They're teachers, so maybe they're homeschooling him in the meantime. Hopefully he's getting an education is really what it's about. And hopefully an education.
Need some learning.
Yeah. About a little, you know, right and wrong in there wouldn't hurt.
Poor kid gets suspended, didn't even get to get high.
Yeah, right? It's a bad situation all around. So hopefully that gets sorted out. And, you know, I think, again, zero tolerance policies are can backfire in weird ways. Like one really kind of big deal about this is or not so much a zero tolerance policy, but one of those things where because of the policy, the thing that happens will stick to you kind of for life is and we've talked about this a little bit, is being labeled a sex offender based on things like sexting underage. So sexting underage has the implication of underage sex, which is, you know, in and of itself probably not a great thing, probably a very bad thing, and shouldn't be a thing because of consent laws and stuff like that. But what can happen is, by labeling someone a sex offender, or you know, the way that sticks to a person is very heavy. I mean, their whole websites will point out, like, Megan's Law, like houses in the area and that kind of thing, or residents that are registered sex offenders. And it's the kind of thing where something that you can chalk up to being like young and stupid will stick to you for the rest of your life. So hopefully this charge doesn't stick to him for the rest of his life, especially since, you know, just a little bit away in Washington, D.C., marijuana is actually legal for recreation. Or no.
Not for 11-year-olds.
But not for 11-year-olds. But it's the kind of thing where, you know, the zero tolerance policy, yes, it in and of itself probably needs some work to kind of think about. But then marijuana specifically is one of those things where it's like, we should maybe be looking at the implementation of that law, of those laws, and especially in other arenas, and schools is one of them. So
I would say that in general, not their zero tolerance policies are not a thing. They're designed for the dumbest people in a group. For people who can't understand, like, the differences between things.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's no gray. You can't understand gray. You only understand black and white.
Right. Nuance is important, is what...
Yes.
Nuance is a thing. So, again, hopefully this 11-year-old gets some school in some way, shape, or form, and hopefully his parents kind of, you know, shake him a little bit. Speaking of some folks that need to be shaken up a little bit, we had talked about the Mars One project a little bit ago. It's a privately funded or privately set up project to put some folks on Mars specifically for the purposes of colonization of Mars. So this would be like a one-way trip for these folks. Do you remember what episode this was, Brendan?
That was episode 127.
Always on point about which episode it is. That's my
maybe the first time in 132 episodes. I looked something up. That's right. Preparation.
It's a thing. The plan was that they were going to get thousands of applicants, and they were going to whittle those down to, I believe it was 100 people. And those 100 people would go through a further set of screening and everything else. And so there was a, I want to say he was, he held like multiple degrees. And it's
in astrophysics.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's pretty significant kind of education level, and he's put together and has a lot of information about Mars and everything else, and he's actually speaking out against the project. He's actually dissociating himself from the project because of there were a number of things that he found out through the screening process that sounded extra shady to him. And so one of the things that leapt out at me was that it's kind of looked at as like a multi-billion-dollar process. I don't know if this was just the launch or this was the launch and settling and everything else, but the number that was thrown out was $6 billion with a B. So many dollars. And they said that the way they were going to fund a lot of it, or that he found out that they were going to fund a lot of it, was that they were going to film a reality TV show around it.
And they were, the people who wanted to be finalists for this program, the top 100 were chosen by how much merchandise they bought.
Yeah.
And you know, there's an entrance fee to do it. And this long, lengthy process of sorting out who was going to get to go ended up being, was it a 10-minute Skype call?
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
it sounded not super professional. And so he decided to speak out because he actually didn't want to be associated with it if it was the kind of thing. And I thought this was very good of him, is that because it's putting people in space, the general populace could mistake this for a NASA project. And if a NASA project, you know, went out with this level of kind of non-expertise, it would be bad for NASA. It would look bad on NASA, even though NASA is not involved. It's just,
well, everyone thinks anything involving space, at least in America, is NASA.
Right.
Like ESA, the European Space Agency, did that launch to land on an asteroid.
Yeah.
Was sending congratulations tweets to NASA. NASA does all the space things. They're not the only ones.
Right.
So if even that could get mixed up, you can imagine something like this would cast a bit of a shadow. And they've got enough fights on their hands as it is trying to maintain funding.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, we had talked about it on the show. Space exploration, definitely a thing. I believe when we were talking about this project in particular, we were a little reserved in our judgment, and I think rightly so. So,
Bass is not for rubes.
Yeah, yeah, that headline from Ars Technica was really good, really good. What was it? Don't scam the rubes, or
they're likely scamming its rubes.
Scamming its rubes.
Mars One. Yeah,
it's so good. Yeah, one of the other things that you would have to do is if you were selected, the Mars One project wanted a cut of any speakers' fees that you got in order to help fund the project. Which is,
it sounds a little like Scientology.
It does sound like you know, pay to play, as they say on these things. So you know, hopefully a real project of substance going to Mars will work. It sounds like this one, if it's not a bust already, it probably will be one after a little bit more time. So
after we've taken them down.
The Not a Thing podcast, only interested in things. Well, it does kind of seem like it's not destined to make it. So we're hoping that more projects come around. Hopefully NASA can get, you know, some actual funding and make this actually work. It'd be great.
Thanks, the Dutch.
Well, on from that news to other news, and specifically how people get news, there was a study out about millennials, which I always feel like is a weirdly defined group of people, but that's probably because I am never defined as part of that group.
Hey, that's my group.
I've been, I think by every measure of it, I'm too old to be a millennial. So
I'm right in the sweet spot, right in the middle there.
Dang kids. Dang crazy kids. But they had a few interesting things pointed out. This one seemed to be about media consumption and how people seek information, specifically about current news. It didn't really break down like local news versus world news or state or federal or what federal nation news, something like that. anything more specific than like current events. How do you seek out current events? And the stat that I found most disturbing, which was the younger the millennial is, but still in that kind of range. So I want to say the young end cutoff is if you were born in 80. Oh, no. The young end.
I don't 97.
Know 97. So you'd be 18, essentially. For that is that.
From most, this study.
From this study, most of those people, 88% of those folks got their news from Facebook. Which is, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think it's a good idea. That shouldn't be a thing. And that's not just the old guy talking.
To be clear, though, they weren't saying that they're getting their news from people's posts necessarily. It's that's the gateway where they get the links to go to the other sites that they get their news from.
Yeah, it did talk about getting news from. By other people kind of sharing things. And I think that, that's the majority of what, you know, Facebook and other kinds of social websites are about is that the share is actually more important than like the like, in terms of engagement and getting people in. Because if someone you know shares a link, then they're someone you kind of vouch for, so you're more likely to look at whatever they're sharing. But then that means that your news is kind of through the filter of all of the folks that you know, which probably means that it's heavily biased around what you already know, because those are the kinds of people that you have around you.
I think what's scarier than the 88% getting their news from Facebook is that there's a percentage you get their news from Pinterest. they broke it down to Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Reddit, and Tumblr.
I'm really surprised.
More people get their news from Pinterest than Reddit.
Yeah, I'm really surprised because I actually like Reddit as a news source. I don't know.
Right. That's my gateway.
I don't know if it's my primary one. It might be, though. I mean, I think it's the primary one for anything not local. I think I do read enough of like local feeds of things that I get at that information. But in terms of like current events, especially things that are happening like right now, I will usually go to Reddit and kind of follow the thread a little bit. But not Facebook, really not. or if I saw something on Facebook, I'm not going to click on it on Facebook. I'm going to go look it up in something else, probably Reddit.
Although number one place to find out people died is on Twitter. At least for me. I feel like the last 5 or 6 celebrity or famous people deaths I found out about through Twitter.
Yeah, I agree. It's a good celebrity death watch notification system.
No, they're trending.
it's that and earthquakes are great. Twitter's great for that.
I get my earthquake news from Facebook.
So did that article say how many people got their news from the Not a Thing podcast?
No.
Oh.
We weren't included. I will write a sternly written letter and send it via postal mail to their post office box, which I assume they have. I will search their website for that information.
Like physical mail hipster you.
I'm not going to do that. What, am I going to go buy a stamp? You can't buy a stamp. They're going to make me buy like a 10-pack.
Right.
Which will take me a decade to use.
Yeah, and they're all the forever stamps now. So it should be, they'll be useful forever.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway, one of those other things that we thought would be around forever, got a little news today. Microsoft announced that they're going to be phasing out Internet Explorer.
Woohoo!
Sort of. So they did announce that Windows 10, the newest version of Windows, which hopefully will come out, I think it's this year, is not going to ship with Internet Explorer as a primary browser. They're going to have a new thing, which they haven't named for real yet, but the code name right now is Project Spartan. They're really, really leaning on the Halo stuff this version around. Between this and Cortana as the kind of personal assistant, I think it's a... Well, we'll see. We'll see how that gamble goes, but... they did say in the article that Internet Explorer would still probably need to be around, at least in the kind of enterprise version of Windows 10, just for compatibility's sake.
Meaning for old people.
Yeah.
Although, who don't know how to switch browsers.
Although, honestly, I would think that from a compatibility point of view, it wouldn't even be whatever the current version of IE is, which I think is 11. I actually don't know. I haven't used IE in a really long time. But I feel like the... one interesting thing about legacy kind of software and especially browsers is that web pages were really written to kind of a lowest common denominator for a while browsers were kind of duking out like who might win, you know, between well, Jesus, Netscape, Netscape, and Internet Explorer, and then eventually Firefox. I don't know anyone that seriously used Opera, but that was a real browser for a little
while. Oh, but the people who use Opera, they love Opera.
Yeah, they do.
And they love to tell you about how great it is.
I remember using Opera because it was one of the first browsers that had tabs, but then not really after that. It was just kind of like, or I could use every other browser now because every other browser has tabs now. But anyway, because of the way that a lot of web pages are written for kind of maximizing compatibility, I feel like the target Internet Explorer is still like IE7 or IE8.
I think it's IE8.
Yeah, just like a really old, crappy version of it. And that's probably related to tablet, Windows tablet PCs that, were Windows, or probably Windows 7, or maybe not even 7. What was that version of the tablet OS? So that's CE. Compact
what?
Edition. Yeah. Yeah, it gets real, real weird. I mean, Internet Explorer is one of those kinds of legacy bits of code that everyone just expects to be there forever. So it's very likely that Windows 10 will actually have Internet Explorer in some degree, just for compatibility's sake. It really needs to go away.
It's terrible.
Really not my favorite browser by any stretch of the imagination. I think they did, now that I think about it, Windows, Microsoft had a partnership with Atari. I believe it was for when they launched Internet Explorer 10, because they had kind of versions of old kind of Atari games like Missile Command and Asteroid and Centipede that they had made to be exclusive to only run in Internet Explorer 10. And I remember seeing these at Penny Arcade Expo probably a couple years ago. I remember playing Missile Command in front of like 30 people while a guy kind of play-by-played me playing Missile Command, which is very strange. Really, really strange kind of feeling. I did not get the high score that day. But it was a weird and fun time. But I don't know. I don't think Internet or Microsoft can really do anything to make Internet Explorer sound like good again. So hopefully whatever the Project Spartan thing is will make more sense. Although honestly, a lot of the stuff coming out about Windows 10 actually sounds pretty good. Like one other thing that I'd heard was their, I think they're calling it HoloLens, is their augmented reality platform stuff. Does sound actually pretty cool. I mean, augmented reality, we've talked about on the show before. I think it's more likely to be a workable thing than virtual reality. But in the context of augmented reality, it does sound really, really cool. You could have like a table and it would be able to tell the corners and edges of the table, and then through a screen or some kind of glasses or something project stuff that would match the table surface. And so if you walked around the table, it would keep the angle consistent with if you walked around something, which I think is which is cool if it actually works. one thing that I had heard about Windows 10 though was the a bit about authentication, specifically that it would use facial recognition authentication, which
what?
Yeah, which we've talked about on the show as not a thing, because I think you can use facial recognition and other biometric data as identification, but by using it for authentication, it opens the door to all sorts of problems for when that authentication gets, those tokens get compromised and stolen, because you can't change your fingerprints, you can't change your face, and it also means you can't share logins. You can't have like a guest login or something, which I think is still kind of common out in the world, especially for people that you don't want to have their own like real logins yet, like kids. Sometimes you don't want that to have their own logins. You want to be able to control what they do, and so having the ability and transparency of what they're doing is more important than, you know, giving them their own login. But in any case, hopefully good old passwords will still work, and I won't have to keep the same appearance forever in order for my my logins to work.
Windows Dorian Gray.
Right. I'll just keep a JPEG of me in one of the folders that will age for me. That'll work out. That should work, right? That's sure. A new feature of Windows 10. Keen. Well, speaking of new features and new interesting things out in the world, if you're listening to us on the 17th of March, which actually I'd be impressed if you were, since it's going to take us a little bit of time to post it, by which time it will probably actually be the 18th of March. But today, the 17th of March, is not just St. Patrick's Day. It's the day Community gets released on Yahoo. And
Yahoo Screen.
Yeah.
Six seasons in a movie.
Yahoo Screen? Is that the name of it?
Yep.
Wow. Okay. That's an okay name, I guess.
I will follow Community for that. Like, I will go through all that so I can watch Community.
Okay. Yeah, the Community, the much beleaguered kind of show on NBC, got picked up by kind of upstart reinvention media company Yahoo. Those episodes are gonna be available, or are available right now.
They already are available.
Do you know?
But as soon as this is over.
Yeah, are they doing like the Netflix kind of model where they release them all at once?
No, I believe they're releasing them weekly, and I think there's two out so far.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, so I think they might have front-loaded it with two, and then I think it's going to be weekly from now on.
I do think there is some value in having a show that you can watch kind of at the same time as other people versus something that you binge-watch. Although binge watching is also satisfying kind of in its own way.
Sweet, sweet digital heroin.
So we'll just have to see like how that works. I don't know if Yahoo has really planned or put together any other content yet, but Community's kind of a big draw, so we'll see how that goes. Six seasons.
Dan Harmon's
in a movie?
Back. Six seasons in a movie.
Excellent. Well, hopefully you've enjoyed this recording of the Not a Thing podcast. I know we've enjoyed both this one and the previous one. So so hopefully we can pull it together next week for just a single recording. And again, if you would like to join us for a recording of the show, let us know, or be open to it if we let you know. And Brendan, I will talk to you next week.
Till next time, Alan.